Hello and welcome to Queers and Soaps. I'm Eric, joined by
Bevan. Hey.
We're bringing you the rest of season two of Dallas. Very exciting stuff ahead. Tommy, roll the credits and we'll get into it. All right. So, episode 21 is Royal Marriage, and as I was watching this episode, first of all, I heard that it's, I believe I read and heard that it's Charlene Tilton's favorite Lucy storyline.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty, it's an emotional one, and it's very well written. I actually looked up the writer for this episode, because I was like, this is, I don't know, it was very classy, like, they did. It was just a. It was a good story. It was nicely done, but it was written.
I was gonna say I agree. I also think it was good in a way that, like, so I sort of have made jokes in the past here and there about how they sort of don't really know what to do with Lucy and yada yada yada. But I actually think that this one was like a good episode of like what they alluded to with her character a lot, and it's just her loneliness and how she just doesn't. Yeah. And
yeah,
I actually thought like this, it is so pretty well, it like is really well written, but I don't know, I remember watching it and towards the end I felt like, you know, it's one of those like it's just, it is sad, but it's still the only way it could have gone, you know?
Right. Well, it could have gotten worse for Lucy, but oh, it actually, course.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So the writer is Camille Marchetta. She wrote 59 episodes of Dallas total in the early years, which is why probably they're so well, most of them are pretty well written. And she wrote 28 episodes of Dynasty.
Leading at season 5. Isn't it season 5? She's famous for that one too.
84 to 85. Is that season 5? That's probably right. She wrote
season 4 and 5, something like that.
And she wrote 2 episodes of Central Park West, CPW. Did you ever watch that one?
I haven't got to that one yet. I do have that though. That's on the, that's good. Like on the file.
It's good. It's good. All right. So it's called Royal Marriage, in case I forgot to say it. Lucy and Kit was introduced in the last episode, like kind of like a small bit, but now he's in it more because it's more about them too.
Yeah,
they're at the disco. Then they're at his place. She wants to stay with him, which means bang. He's not really feeling it yet. You know, he's just like, oh, whatever. They kiss.
He like makes excuses. Like he knows the situation, and he keeps making excuses. Like, oh, let's play a game of whatever the game that I can't.
Backgammon or something.
Like that.
And apparently they've been seeing each other for a while, even though he was only in it for like 2 minutes the last episode.
Yeah,
I don't know how long time is supposed to be. We never know that in soaps. He basically just says he doesn't want to hurt her. They end up going back to South Fork. JR shows up in his safari jacket.
And
he doesn't really say much or whatever. He's just happy that they're dating because whatever, we'll get into that part in a minute. Sue Ellen is passed out drunk, and her music plays. Isn't it funny? It's like every it's a Sue Ellen song. I don't know if anybody else has their own music in this show, but Sue Ellen does.
Yeah.
Then he's just basically just like pissed off. I think doesn't he like dump the alcohol or something, and then like he has a drink himself or something.
I think he's just walked in and she's just out.
Yeah. So they're all having breakfast the next morning. Lucy's all happy and singing, and JR of course poops on that. He says he just hopes Kit has good intentions, but he hopes his intentions are honorable. She gets mad. She's about to go away. He's like, oh, don't get mad. He's like, we'll go out for dinner, me, you, Sue Ellen, whatever. And we'll hang out. Pam has a nice moment. Pam and Lucy's relationship have come a long way. She's just like, don't let JR get to you. Or she actually is like, I don't believe I'm going to say this, but don't let JR get to you. Because I guess you can't help it. It is your family member, even though you may not hate, or you may hate the family member, as most of them do.
Yeah.
Miss Ellie says, don't pressure Lucy, JR. Because he pressures everyone. So they all go out to dinner. JR stops Sue Ellen from getting a drink. Because, you know, she just, I think she's like nonstop drinking at this point.
That actually is handled so perfectly by him. Because he's being like the general, like, oh, I'm the uncle host. I invited you out. And she goes to reach for it. And he just like cuts her off and grabs it. You know, like he does it actually really well. And just continues with the conversation.
And then she gives the look. She's like,
excuse me.
You know, she this is before flask. She don't have the flask yet, so she can't just whip it out of her purse. Would have been great if she left the table, but she wasn't to that point yet. And he basically just is like, oh, I paid for the disco for you guys to go out. And Lucy is just like, what is he up to? Because he's always up to something when he's doing this shit. And then apparently, I think, what is it? Kit's, tell the story of that. You know, like Kit's dad is into refineries, which is what JR wants. Like,
I think they said main wearing oil or main wearing refineries. And because of like restrictions that the OLM is placing, it's something to do with like pressure from the OLM and main wearing being like a refinery resource, essentially. And quite a few of the independents are looking. And so there's that little scene with JR with the cartel where he kind of blows them off a bit. So JR kind of wants the deal to go because it would be genuinely good for Ewing and Mainwaring to have some, like, essentially a merger. But it also puts him ahead of the game as far as, you know, having his oil refined.
Right. Which is why he wants them, Lucy and Kit, to marry, because that will help their families be more powerful.
Yeah.
And a more legit reason, Kit and his dad talk. You don't really know exactly. I mean, some of us knew what was happening. But if you're naive, you don't. So you're like, you know, something happened in the past. It's almost like Blake and Steven on Dynasty. Like they have that little friction of relationship. Nobody really says that you're gay or not, but it's, you know, hinted at Blake in a way.
The difference there, though, is like Kit's father doesn't seem to really even acknowledge it, whereas Blake acknowledged it and didn't like it.
Blake didn't acknowledge it at first, though. It felt like very early on, I don't think he did.
You don't reckon? I mean, like, he flat out makes that institute remark in the first episode after he, like, they have that little battle of ideologues, and then he turns around and he's just like, well, you know, how the hell can a man respect a man who puts his hand on another man?
You know,
it's more like, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't really, there's no denial there. There's more shame.
Yeah, but I also feel like it's also denial to me too, because he wants him to be with a girl. Like, so I almost feel like, you know, like he blows it off. I don't know. I get like a similar relationship with them because we don't know much about this family. You know what I mean? Like, and this is the only time I feel like we see them.
No, that's fair. But yeah, no. Either way, but, it's strange. He's worried, and he mentions things like, you know, he doesn't like. He asks him about Lucy, like, "Oh, we got invited to a party at the Ewings. Like, what's that about?" And he's like, "Well, you know, they obviously want to talk to you. Want you to come and hang out, basically." And that's when Lucy's brought up, and he sort of is like, I know you've been talking to her and hanging out with her and seeing her sort of thing, you know? And Kit tries to blow it off and say immediately that it's not important. It's not that important. It's not that serious, which also I'll point out too, Kit does a lot of realistic, if not passive deflection and projection. So like, which is probably, you know, I just say as far as like the well-written character dynamics, I think it really works. Like, you know, in order for his parents not to get their hopes up, he lies about Lucy being significant to him, you know, to avoid being intimate with Lucy, he makes up things. And he even says earlier, just earlier in that scene where they were together and he sort of quite like, you know, quietly rejects her, he just sort of, it's not projected necessarily on her, but he's just like, what, don't you know, you're young, don't you, do you want me to make you feel cheap or something, you know, like it's yeah. that sort of thing where you're sort of pushing it out. And I actually really liked all that stuff. I thought that was you know, yeah, it's not as, I don't think it's as full-on as it can get in real life, but it was really it was really well done
for being 48 minutes.
To add that's why
I looked up the writers, because I felt like you either had to know someone gay or like have somebody in your family gay, and this had to happen at some point for them, or be gay yourself and know that feeling to be able to write this episode, like the way as well done as it was, like very tasteful for 1970 or 70. Are we in 79? I think we're in 79.
Yeah, we're in 79. I'm pretty sure it's 1979.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. And the dad doesn't even like JR. He doesn't really, but he's willing to put that aside because he would like him to marry a woman.
And while they don't, they actively talk around it, but he tries to sort of like, you know, explain the way, like, oh, like you get the weight, because JR doesn't have a good reputation in that town, for God's sake, you know, like everybody knows that the Ewing, and like, even by this point, the Ewings have been in the headlines a few times, you know, with their battles with Cliff and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, who the hell wants to really be associated with them if they can avoid it?
Yeah, right. Pam is, I think, with Lucy at one point, and like, and Kit like has a reaction seeing Lucy and Ray together, which I thought was kind of odd.
Okay, you know what I like about that, and like him and Bobby joke about him possibly being jealous, and he sort of laughs about it. That's where Kit's like, I think that's what leads into his intimacy with her later, is like he starts having these feelings towards her, like feelings of jealousy and attraction, but he doesn't understand what they are. So when he's like got a bit jealous over Ray, he's like, oh, maybe that means I'm normal, you know?
Oh, yeah, like he's questioning himself because he's still young himself. I don't know how old he's supposed to be. Nobody ever says ages too much in here.
No,
I don't really know Lucy.
I get the vibe that he's a bit older than Lucy, like drinking age at least. But he's younger than Pam and Bobby. So I reckon like early to mid 20s.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, that's enough time to sort of finish school, go to college, you know, stuff around a bit and drink a lot. That's sort of how they talk about him, at least Pam and Bobby. Yeah.
So yeah, I think we're at the party now, right? Like, and it jumps right into the party, I think.
Yeah, it kind of does.
And Kit's parents are there, and the dad comes and he wants to dance with Lucy, and the mom's like, oh, Lucy can make you happy, Kit. You know, like, they're just, like, really pushing it. Which, I guess, is confusing to him, too, like, which is why I feel like he's fighting himself through this episode.
Well, yeah.
Gets
these little signs, and he encounters at that club, just in the last scene, real quick. They come across, I'm pretty sure it's, yeah, because, that comes further. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Well, this is the part, basically the party's over once this happens, but like, Kit, I guess, is feeling pressured because his parents are so happy, and he's like, he just decides to ask Lucy to marry him.
Yeah.
And Lucy gets all excited, and she announces it right at the party, and boop. And that's basically the end of the party. So Ellen and JR want a big wedding. Lucy's saying they want a small, intimate wedding with just family. JR talks about, like, I think it's like, is it like the next day or whatever? He's like, he offers her like to drive his car or something.
Yeah, he talks about like giving her the car, that like buying her the car that she's been going on about, and she's just like, you really want us to get the main wearing, you know, you really want me to marry Kit, you know, I know what that's about, not a fool. And he's just like, oh, I never thought you were, you know.
Yeah, right.
It's just that thing, yeah, too much Ewing in you, you know. And then it's basically like, you know, you're getting what you want, and don't be mad at me for being happy about it. And it's like,
so later on that day, they're at the disco again, Lucy and Kit, And I think, are Pam and Bobby at that there that time?
I'm pretty sure they are there with them that time.
And a guy comes over, his name's Sam. And of course, he's the, you know, the roommate in college, which everybody always says on these shows. Yeah, that was my roommate in college. You're like, okay, now I know it officially, you know, what's happening. Again, going back to Steven, he had a roommate in college, which was Ted Denard. Mm. Back at Kit's, he decides to bang her. They both seem, well, she's really happy about it, obviously. He seems a little distraught. I think he realized officially, you know, that he can't swing that way. So the next day he goes to see Bobby, which I love. I love Bobby's reaction to this, which is why Bobby's like the ultimate good guy, you know?
I always feel like Bobby carries the revelation. So it's just the way things were framed back then and seen. Bobby is, I feel like, you know, Patrick Duffy just owned that scene where he is a person of that, like, you know, Patrick Duffy the man, whatever, but Bobby Ewing is just sort of awestruck, but, and doesn't get it. And it's kind of, you can see the sort of different little changes of the, what that means and how it ticks over his head. And all the time he's trying to actually judge the guy. And it's really, it's interesting because I just think it belies that unintentional sort of the stuff you can't hide as you're processing information. And Patrick Duffy, he freaking owns that whole, like, I really like that scene as well. It just,
he does. It's so really he tells them that he's going to call off the wedding. Bobby's surprised. He's like, he thought, and he basically says, you know, I thought she'd be good for my image, but I'm a homosexual.
Yeah.
He also tells them that he slept with her last night, but she's got balls. And that's why I think Bobby respects him. He's both upset and pissed, which, like you said, the way his emotions showing in this scene were really good. He was just like, I forget what he said, how he said it with the with not hitting him.
It was like, you know, he goes, I didn't want to hurt her, this isn't something that I like wanted to do, like meant to do. And he's like, I get that, because if I thought otherwise, you know, I basically would have dropped you.
I would have punched you out or something.
Yeah, it's just such a well done scene. It really is. I was like,
And he's like, he's just like, why did you bring her into this mess? And, you know, and it's, but he also, I feel like, understands in a way, like he was trying to work it out, you know. But again, it's hard to cover all that in 48 minutes.
Well, that's what I mean. I think that that scene really does like do well in just kind of, so like, you know, it's like, like it shines through, and for like a few minutes there in that scene, all these different lights are shown, like sort of, you know, flaring on the issue. And like what people sort of go through in these situations and stuff. It's weird how they're able to sort of convey so many, like, it is just the actors, though. They're able to just put so much of the, it just works so well. There's nothing
else.
Really good.
And people are always shocked when I tell them, like, you know, not many like primetime soap actors were nominated for Emmys back then, you know, and they should have been. I feel like I gotta look into it how many people were, but I only know that Barbara Bel Geddes was nominated for the breast cancer episode, which we get to in season 3. And she won, but that's like the only Oscar, my God, why do I say Oscar? Only Emmy win for the show, I believe. They may have won in other things, but none in the acting category. But I gotta look more into it to be positive, but I'm pretty sure that's true.
Yeah.
So they're already planning a bridal shower for Lucy. They already are having a bridal shower. Sue Ellen kind of falls over. This is where, like, Sue Ellen's really just drinking. Like, every scene, she's drinking. And
Mary Stone, you notice every time whenever Mary Lee Stone is in the scenes in the background, she's just kind of like, Just quietly, yeah. Like the eye, that like, she does it so well. She's just like,
Yeah, like this lady's a drunk.
Yeah. Why is no one doing anything about this?
I know. So and then that's basically all that happens in that. She feels faint and she's like, she's tired of resting. Because I guess all they tell her to do is rest. They're not taking, nobody likes to solve the problem. They just tell her to rest all the time. No, she's a drunk and you need to do something about it. But none of the family do, so whatever. Kit's dad and JR meet up. He wants the refinery and the golf, which is, I guess, that's all they really talk about. Bobby and JR talk. He wants to use Kit's being gay to get what he wants out of his dad. Bobby says, of course, that's a new low, which is, I feel like every episode it's a newer low, and, you know, it's like, how much lower can this man get?
I actually have, like, a question. So when we get to it, I want to actually, when we get to it, I think it's in season 7. I think that season has probably the worst thing JR has ever done in it. And I actually reckon we could, but I can't do it because it'll give it away right now. But like, he does so many terrible things. I honestly think season 7 is the freaking worst.
In a couple years when we get to that, we'll...
Yeah, just throwing that out there as like foreshadowing for the audience, like a bit of foreshadowing.
Kit, and then he also says, Bobby says, Kit is more of a man than you, which I loved because that really like put him in his place, I feel like, this time.
Well, JR, for context, Jay already knew. JR's known pretty much the whole time.
That's like, what I was getting to. JR goes to Kit. He wants to blackmail him into marrying Lucy, pretty much. Kit goes to Lucy. He's very honest with her. He tells her everything. He says that he and Sam were lovers. He wanted to be more normal, accepted. His parents were happy. He wanted to make them happy. Lucy is very sad, and she wants, you know, she's saying she'll do whatever, but she says it's okay.
What's heartbreaking is the way she uses the sort of false intimacy to try and say that he's not gay, when those are the very things that have sort of proven that he is, you know? And it's really sad, like, you know, and because they do care about each other, they actually have a legit care. She's like, no, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. We'll be like that. We'll love each other. And then he's like, well, what about Sam? And she's like, well, what do you mean? Yeah. He's like, if it's him, it's not him, it'll be someone else. And it sort of belies the thing of like, you know, if I'll end up cheating on you, you'll end up cheating on me. We'll just hurt each other. And it's so sad. Charlotte Tilton breaks her heart. It's so sad.
It's good. This is a major turning point for the character of Lucy too.
I agree.
It turns her into just like a more empathetic, sympathetic character. Like, I don't know. Yeah. She's not that bratty teen anymore after this one.
Yeah, it sort of leaves after this season. By season 3, she's very like, you know, and it's just it's just so well done. It's so well done. I love that whole scene. And even he doesn't really, you know, and she's like, well, can I see you again? And it's just like, well, we can't, you know, because of how you feel. And then she just does, it was almost like really innocent. He's like, you know, not until it doesn't hurt anymore. And she's like, well, that's going to be a really long time. And I'm just like, oh, my heart.
And he says that JR and Bobby know. She says she'll deal with JR and there won't be any scandal, which is how you know that that's the turning point for her. Like, because before, I feel like she might have done something or even like helped JR, you know, do something shitty.
If she cared about him. She cared about him, and she really loved him, and she really cared about it. And the worst thing is that she also understands. She actually does understand, and it's just heartbreaking for her. And
I she mean, gets home.
That scene, man, so sad and well done.
Lucy gets home. She says they had a fight. She doesn't want to marry him anymore. She's not ready to settle down. JR is like, you know, she's like, I don't, you know, nothing you can do will make me, you know, marry him. Jock and Ellie say leave her alone.
And it's sort of like, Bobby goes up to talk to her and she breaks her heart.
Yeah, Lucy's crying. He says he's proud of her, and that she's turning into quite a lady. And I'm like,
Yeah, and then she just asks what we all ask is like, why does it hurt so much and when does it stop? You know,
Yeah.
like we've all thought that or like cried that at times, you know.
I know.
On a side note, just really quickly, when she tells that story, so I don't know if it's intentional or not, maybe it was, but like it's just a bit of like what I sort of noticed. The way they talk, well, especially the way JR kind of talks about Kit's very like a little like, oh, you think he's more of a man than me, like those comments that he says to Bobby.
Right.
When Lucy sort of tells her story, she reasserts sort of typical masculine feats back, like features back then. Like she reasserts his masculinity essentially without compromising it. So she, and it's not exactly good. It's like what we'd call toxic shit nowadays. But she's like, oh, he's jealous and possessive. Like she sort of reasserts these overt masculine traits. Without compromising it. It's really interesting. And I didn't actually pick up on that on the billion times I've seen the episode. But she actually does. And then she walks upstairs and utterly breaks her heart over it.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting the way she fully protects. She just fully protects Kit.
Yeah. So episode 22 is called The Outsiders.
Yes.
JR and Lucy are still talking about the last episode because she's still, you know, her heart's broken.
It's like a little mini arc for Lucy, I'm pretty sure, in this one, doesn't it?
Yeah, I kind of spoke too soon when I said it was a turning point. I mean, it was a turning point in a way, but then there's issues in this one that, you know.
No, I think it is, though. I think it is. It's like, this is like the point where Lucy can't just like shrug it off, you know? She's not just banging the ranch.
Right, she's dealing with it, yeah.
So, yeah, and she's not dealing with it well.
Jock's basically saying that they don't need him. You know, they don't need him. They'll do their own thing. Bobby buys a car for Lucy. He says, you're mature enough to have one. And I made note that it's Ewing 5, which I still don't understand these numbers because I always already thought there was a Ewing 5, but whatever. Jock and JR get to the office. We have a Bud Morgan is there. And he said something about stop. They had to stop their drilling because Cliff and the OLM are getting on them or whatever.
So the regulations of Titans and all... is it that? I think it's that. It's like the OLM's been reviewing regulations or something like that. And so, no. I lie. I think that's the next episode. This one is the OLM still reviewing their file to drill or whatever that is, like their motion, whatever you have to do to get permission. And the OLM hasn't, like, basically said they need more time to go over it. But like JR, the surveyor fellow and Jock are all like, it's been weeks. It should have been done through already. They're dragging their feet deliberately.
Yeah. And I had to make note that Bud Morgan is played by Clint from One Life to Live. He was Clint from like the 80s till 2009, I believe. And I believe he passed away shortly after that.
He did pass out.
So they're basically talking about getting Cliff off their back. And they come up with Sam Culver. This, I guess he's like some kind of powerful man, which he's not like in, like, what is it called? He's not, yeah, he's powerful, but he's not in the office anymore. What is he, like an ex-governor or something?
He's an old school powerhouse that you presume has gone out of office in the last few years, but still hold like a heap of influence in the party that he used to run. So he used to be the head of the party, and
right. So Ray and Bobby are talking. They talk about him and Garnet. He's still hurt, you know, from that Garnet episode like 10 episodes ago. And we have Susan Howard's first episode as Donna Culver, which you were very right that she was in. I did not remember. I can't remember. Everything blends together for me in Dallas. I cannot remember a specific season like you can. You are very good with that, I must say.
Sometimes I'm good at it. Most times I do. Yeah, I'm usually
something. Some things like I always thought like when Pam left, I always thought it was like season 8, and she leaves it like season 10 or something, and I'm like,
yeah.
I can never remember timeline. Like it's hard for me.
Well, I read a lot of DC stuff and everything, multiverse, timelines, all that jazz, Doctor Who, all that stuff. You get used to it.
Some guy comes over to Donna. He wants them to go out, whatever. And Ray kind of intervenes. He goes over, says, leave her alone. The dude backs off. Donna goes to the bar to thank Ray. She and Ray end up hanging at the bar late and chatting. And she says she'll be back there tomorrow night. And, you know, Ray seems to be lit up a little bit. You know, his spirits are up. He's not depressed anymore like he has been since Garnet left, even after that one episode. And she was a bitch too, like, why would you, whatever. Anyway,
yeah.
JR comes home to a drunk Sue Ellen. I think we get the music again, but I don't remember.
I'm fairly certain we do.
Donna meets up with Ray. They get to know each other a bit more. Jock and Ellie talk about how young Donna is for Sam, so that they have an issue with that. And I was kind of confused about their relationship too, but I get it after she kind of explained it. And then I forget they had a cute moment, and Jock said to her, she couldn't hold a candle to you, Ellie. Sue Ellen wants no breakfast when she comes out the next morning, and she just has tomato juice. Probably hangover. With like a bottle of vodka.
Yeah. Normally like not too bad with a hangover, but not when you put more alcohol in it.
She's just nonstop. It's a sin. She always breaks my heart, all of her stuff. Like, she's just so good. Ray comes by, he's excited about Donna. Bobby and Pam talk to Donna. Is that when they found out she dropped? Oh yeah, she says she dropped out of school to help her family. We find out that she went to school with Bobby or whatever. I think they went to college. So, like,
they're in the same year or whatever, and she sort of disappeared or something. So she tells him the goss, essentially. Family death? Just dramas, like life dramas.
Yeah, Sue Ellen's even more depressed. She says Donna has a better marriage than she does with JR. Even though, you know, Sam's like 85 and she's like 40. Or probably, she's actually probably in her 30s. She just looks older.
Sam looks like an oil man Santa Claus or something. I know he's a politician, but he's just like, oh my God.
Yeah. And JR basically wants to, he knows he can't get to Sam, but he knows, well, he thinks that he can get to Sam through Donna.
Yeah.
Lucy and, this is where we get into Lucy's and her friends. Lucy and her friends are hanging out. One friend, Annie, gives her a pill to help her. So we all know where this is going for poor Lucy.
Really quickly, wasn't the actor who played Anne, wasn't she also in Dynasty?
Yes. She was.
Was it early season, like season one?
Yes. Okay. She's Lindsay's friend.
Yes. Ah, that's right. The one that like talks to her while Lindsay melts down over having coming from divorced parents.
I was gonna make note of that, but I actually said that in the Dynasty one. But I'm like, well, I'm glad you brought it up. So it worked out. she's in a bunch of soaps. Where were we? Bobby and Pam go to meet Ray and Donna. They see that, well, they don't know it's Donna. They come in, they're like, what is he doing with her? And they just leave.
Because
I guess they don't want the scandal, and they know, you know, it's not right. And
it's a quick conversation. And they're like, does he know? Surely he knows. How can he not know? They're conversations that, like, anyone else would have.
And here we have the next scene, I guess. Marilee goes to Ellie, and they want Sue Ellen to resign as president of the whatever ladies bullshit thing. I didn't even know she was president. I knew she did stuff, but I don't think they ever like addressed that she was president.
They always talk about her having to be there and that she had like all these responsibilities and stuff, but I suppose that she's done, like, you know, she was doing like presentations and being the host for like political debates, so she must have been reasonably high up. I'm not surprised, but no, I don't think they ever explicitly have said until recently. Yeah.
Bobby meets with Donna. He asks about Ray. He's being very protective. He's like, you know, why would you do this? You're married. Like, what's going on? She says she doesn't know why. She's like, why would you marry Pam? Like, she's like, I don't know why. She's just drawn to him in some way.
Yeah.
She talks about Sam, how she's not really in love with Sam, but she loves them, you know, as a, that's what's weird to me, like a father figure type. I don't know.
It would just be a marriage of friendship and convenience. Like, she would,
right.
Like, maybe they have had sex at some point, you know, to see if it worked. I don't know. But I always got the vibe that, like, I don't know, like, I mean, I have a friend, right? Okay, I have a friend. She's awesome. Love her to pieces. And we haven't always had the best luck in romance. So we were, like, at one point there when we're still, like, in our late 20s, we were like, you know what? If none of it works out and they're all shit, by the time we're 40, if we're single, we should just marry each other and just build, like, whatever we've got there, shared property, build from there, and we'll actually have things and stuff like that. So, like, and there's a lot of, I don't know, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm in love with her, but I do, like, love her. I've known her since I was a teenager, you know?
Right.
So, I don't know, I think, I'm not saying, you do have that, you're right, though, there is this fatherly element that I can't say is in my situation because I grew up with her. But like,
because you're like the same age.
I can't understand those sort of, those types of relationships to a degree.
Right. And she basically tells Bobby that she doesn't know what to do because she loves Ray and she's torn herself. You know, she never really found a man that she connected with, and she connects with Ray for some reason. I don't know why, but he's not the. Not that he's not bright, but he's like a douchebag, kind of, you know, from what we've seen. You're sleeping with an underage girl.
He's been chilling out since Garnet. Like, he even made crack at, he even makes a crack at Bobby about it later. And I think the next episode, he makes a joke about it. Like, he's sort of pulled back a lot. He doesn't seem to be, you know, playing the field a whole lot. They have shown him either helping Bobby investigate stuff with the family, like doing things, you know, exposing JR's shady crap, or he's sort of more of like the bar fly. Yeah, not like a bad one, just sort of like one of the boys at the bar, you know?
Right. So we see Miss Ellie is really getting on to Sue Ellen this time, finally. She's kind of like making eyes and just kind of staring her down and like shit, like she knows there's a serious problem going on. She kind of brings up in front of the ladies, she's like, so Ellen says she's going to resign. Like, she didn't even talk to her. And so Ellen's like, yeah, I feel like she just gave her a look and was like, you're going to resign and you need to get your shit together. Like, in that eye look.
There was that whole bit. She's like, no, Sue Ellen has mentioned that, you know, things are getting a bit much, blah, 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 and that she intends to resign. So Ellen looks at her and Miss Ellie's just like, no, play along. You are wasted.
Always, yeah. I don't blame her. But anyway,
it's Ray the same. Like, it's all like condescending and it seems like controlling and stuff. But you know, you think about the type of like society people there around, it's this, they should be doing more, but I do understand why she, for especially 1979, she's kind of like hushed away from the public view, you know, like that's very much an old thing to do, you know.
So Ray and Donna meet up at a motel. Of course, JR ends up following Ray or whatever, and he's outside the motel, so he knows that now they're seeing each other or whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
I Donna's walking down the street, and JR's like trying to talk to her, and she blows him off. She just keeps walking. I feel like she knows. Like, she already knows that JR is a scoundrel, and she wants nothing to do with him. He follows her. He says he saw Ray's car. He's trying to like blackmail her. She's like, what do you want, JR? He's like, tell Sam about the OLM or whatever. And he's like, she seems to put him off pretty well, but she does look a tad nervous, like when he leaves.
She's smart. She's not easily intimidated. She's smart. She knows that it can make trouble, you know?
The next scene, Annie's given Lucy another pill before a party, because Lucy really doesn't want anything. She's depressed and she just wants to stay home and do nothing and get over this man, but her friends is like, here, take a pill, you'll be fine. Good friends. Donna meets with Ray. She says she's leaving Dallas. She tells him that she's married. She says that she cares about him. She told Sam how she felt, and she says she's going to divorce him. She's like, you know, when she comes back, maybe they can get involved. They kiss, and he says he will be there. And I was like, that's so sweet. But it was cute.
I think this is where I love this thing. We see it with Bobby and Pam at the start, but we expect it. But I love this whole forging of the super couple thing. And that's like the start of Ray and Donna.
Yeah. And you know, like Ray and Donna, I'm always back and forth with them because Ray gets on my nerves in like every other episode, even when they're together. Yeah. They're not good until years down the line. But anyway, we'll talk about
that. I do agree. Ray has that thing. That definite, yeah, we'll get to it. You'll get to it.
Yeah. So Sam calls JR. He says he talked to Donna. They're giving full support to Cliff Barnes, which is just like an aha moment. And the OLM, of course. And JR, and he's like, there's nothing you could say or do. This is what's happening, and basically hangs up. Ray comes by, says it's good. He's very happy that he has someone to care about again. And that's basically the end of that episode. It was sweet. Good introduction to Donna.
Yeah, it was a good intro. Like, Ray's very bittersweet at the end about it. Like, I actually thought it was like a sort of a good, I mean, like, Ray's another one who's just lonely, you know what I mean? Like, he is kind of like, I mean, he's got his place at the farm, at the ranch now, and he connects with Jock and everything, but he's still very lonely. I mean, I feel like that's probably, and like, I think that, I don't know if this is intentional or it's like, you know, because I don't necessarily think that when you start off with like, oh, I'm going to have, say, the young rich girl have an affair with the ranch hand, that just is a very archetypical sort of romantic type thing to happen. I don't think the idea starts how it ends up progressing, you know what I mean, where that you end up having the actors end up bringing these two characters who are very lonely and end up sort of have, and then you sort of reflect on it and I think, ah, that's why they sort of sort each other out a bit more despite it being, you know, inappropriate and all the stuff. And I mean, Dallas is always good for that. I think Dallas is one of the best for character, like character development as well as reflection. Like, you think on characters, they actually grow in this show
sometimes. For the men, a lot of times.
Yeah, I think it takes them a while to do the women, and then they kind of sort of, they don't keep it going all the time. There's always a damsel, you know, like stuff like that. Like, that's annoying.
No, I have a big problem with all the women and their departures, basically, on the show.
I'm actually really happy that you brought that up, because that is something that, like, I want to look at more as we go through, because, like, I have seen, I think, the first 8 seasons a fair few times, but I don't remember absolutely everything about how the characters sort of, like, you know.
Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit. So anyway, episode 23, John Ewing the third. We know what's going to happen in this one, I guess. So Ellen has her flask. Yay!
Yeah. Finally,
flask is here.
Someone up at the old doctor's ready for the nip before she goes in.
Yeah, Lucy is at the store. She's buying. So now this is an interesting thing. She's buying jewelry at the counter. And did you recognize who she's buying jewelry from? You know who that is, right?
Isn't that Jackie?
So, like, her name's actually not Jackie yet. So I thought it was Jackie. It is Jackie, the lady that plays her. But I think her name is Susan, and she was a saleswoman. Yeah, if you look at the episode.
I did notice it. I just assumed it was somehow, like, just Jackie. Like, they were just like, oh, we like that actress, was beautiful, let's bring her back, you know? Like,
right. So I'm guessing they changed her name for some reason. I'm not sure why. But anyway, her name's Cherilyn Rutino in real life. She only lived 39 years. She was only here for 39 years. She died of breast cancer in 1995, yes. So she starts out as Susan, a saleswoman at the store, but ends up becoming Jackie somehow the store as well, becoming friends with Pam. But we'll get to that in, I think, season 3.
Yeah, I think it is around then.
So, yeah, that's what I was wondering, if she was Jackie. You know, when Pam came over, she didn't even acknowledge her. So I was like, okay, maybe they're not anything yet. So Pam comes over, whatever, and talks to Lucy about nothing. Sue Ellen is told to cut down on drinking by her doctor. It's putting the baby at risk. Sue Ellen says she'll find another doctor, leave her alone, mind your business.
Yep.
Lucy's, I don't even know why she's going out of her way. She's hawking a necklace for some reason. For $50 she gets for it.
Yeah,
but she's rich, so I don't understand that.
The only thing I can think of is that because Lucy's a minor, maybe like all her money transactions or card transactions would be like checked by Jock and Ellie.
That would make sense. Yeah.
You know, some, that's the only thing I could think of too, because I was sort of looking at that scene myself. I'm like, why the hell is she doing this? She's got,
So she's a smart junkie. She's a smart junkie.
Yeah.
So where are we? She goes,
on a side note, that necklace she bought for like $200. He got it. He gave her $50 for it just because. Like, they don't do that. They have to give you some value of what it's worth. Like,
yeah. Well, he did tell her to go somewhere else, but she didn't have time to play. She needs her pills, whatever.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She's 16, I guess. Yeah, they're just driving home that
point. She takes the money to get the pills from the guy, whatever. JR gets some people to fight the OLM. What's that about? He gets the dudes to fight them for him or whatever. I guess he found people that are against them, and he's using them.
Them. I was just trying to remember the scene because I remember what you were. Okay, so I think it's just a setup because prior we've got. So it's just a setup for Sue Ellen's drama. So, like, I mean, in good ways, it's a good scene and everything.
Right.
Just sort of like really flimsy. So Sue Ellen goes to the office and comes across Pam and Bobby, who are just talking in general. Mentioned Lucy's been acting weird, and Sue Ellen's just like, oh, is JR in his office? And they're like, no, Sue Ellen, he's out. Like, do you want to, you know, like, she's supposed to go to a benefit. And he's like, okay, do you want me to, like, take you there or something? She's like, no, it's fine. I'll just wait for him in his office. She goes in there, immediately goes to the bar, glug, glug, glug. And then in the next scene, I think while that's happening, JR is talking to, I guess, a senator. His senator, I think they might say his last name once. I didn't catch it, but he's only in one scene. And apparently he's got like information, and I presume dirt just was a sort of illustrate that OLM is like, you know, targeting certain independents, right. Yada yada. And so they're all happy about it. The senator's like, yep, this is going to be great when I take it in and start talking about it. Let's go celebrate with a drink. JR and him and this assistant, I think it is, all head off.
I'm telling you, I go dopey when this. When all that business shit comes on, I'm like, I'm trying to get what's happening, but I'm like, whatever.
In that case, I think it's more like, because I don't think the OLM stuff really happens until season 3. So I think it's more of just illustrating that infighting. There's not, these last two episodes don't feature any major business stuff. It's not, the major stories aren't like related to business too much. It's in the background.
Right. So while Sue Ellen is in the office, she calls Cliff. She wants to come over. He says no. She keeps drinking, and she's like, you have someone there, don't you? And he's like, it's not about that. And then she just like hangs up on him, and he's like, looks a little disturbed. In the next scene, Lucy is high.
He's like, it doesn't matter. And she's just right. Like, do, don't you? As she's just trying to not fall apart as a drunken slob. Like, so Ellen, when she does those scenes, man, oh my god, like she really, I'm like, oh, I bet you she reeks. Like she looks like she reeks. Like,
she probably does, right?
Yeah, it's just, no. She does it so well. Linda Gray's amazing.
Nobody smells it on her. So in the next scene, Lucy's high. Lucy goes to Ray's. She kisses him. She tries to come on to him, but she's high, so, you know, whatever. He pushes her off him. He says, he asks her where the pills are. He already kind of knows something's going on.
She's clearly not drunk, and like
Ray's trying to sober her up. While Sue Ellen drives all around drunk, she pulls over and passes out. Yeah. And I put that there was fun music on when the story ends.
There was a little bit like dun dun dun, something like it's weird. I also sit there and think to myself, like, you know, Dallas, even in the 70s, would have been a massive city. And she's driving around in a massive ass urban area. Because what, the building's in the middle, well, maybe not the middle, but it's clearly in the business, like the big sort of built up sections of the city. She's just chilling and driving just off its face. Right. And I'm just like, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, lucky you've got the plot armor at the moment, honey, because in real life.
So Pam and Bobby find her. They take her home. So Ellen wakes up, asks about Cliff. She says she loves him, and she does, and says Pam's with her, and she says, "Don't leave me, please, don't leave me." It's such so sad. I feel for her like every scene she's in.
It is.
Miss Ellie asks where JR is, because she knows that he's not tending to his wife, and he's always gone. Sue Ellen being drunk, Jack blames him. Ellie wants to talk to JR. She says he's power hungry. He has no redeeming qualities like Jock did.
She wonders, you know, you're power hungry. You're like your father in that and all that. And she's like, but he has redeeming qualities like the love for his family and his sons. I'm not sure you do. You know, do you love anything, JR? You know?
Yep. And like, she's realizing that she's a terrible mother in this moment. She's feeling guilty. She says, "Help your wife." He says, "It's too late." I'm like, damn.
What is it? I love that though. It's one moment there where like Ellie has it a few times with JR over the series where she really does let him know. She goes, "I know what kind of man you are." Mm-hmm. You know? I know what kind of man you are, but that is not important. She loves you. Yes, she's not perfect.
You're gonna take care of her.
She needs help right now. Look what's happening. You know?
Yeah.
And I like, even when she's like, just like, ever since you brought that girl into this house, you've neglected her. And she calls him on the affairs because you always left, it's kind of left open sometimes if Jock and Ellie are kind of aware of it. But it is that blissful, it's like that, you know, willful ignorance.
They know. Yeah. But they stay, they believe in staying out of people's marriages to a degree where this is where we're at.
Destructive degree. Right. Yeah.
Great. Exactly. Exactly. So get involved in your kids' marriages. If they're living under your roof, get strict with them. Be like, you're under my roof, get your shit together, or go in one of the houses across the way that don't exist anymore.
I mean, man, we've still got like over a decade worth of seasons to go. How much more drama does her elders bring to that goddamn house? There's no lie.
Well, this is another thing about how they write Ellie. Like, I don't like a lot of times the way they write Ellie. I don't like it at all because, and I love Miss Ellie, but she's very weak. As such a strong woman she is, they write her to be weak. And we'll get into that as we go along. But Lucy leaves Ray's. They go to Annie's to get her.
Yeah.
Pam and I think Bobby.
Ray and Bobby go pick up because Bobby Ray goes to get Bobby to come grab her because she can get, he'll just like sort of like, you know, escort Lucy through the house and, you know, make the excuses. But by the time they get back, she's skedaddled and headed back to old Anne's.
Yeah. And Annie is like, she's like, you're not going to tell, are you, Bobby? And he's like, yeah, I got her. Sorry. They end up taking Lucy home, sends her to her room. Without telling Miss Ellie, this is where this is the problem, you know, like it's the same problem. You should tell her, be like, listen, she's on pills. We need to get it under control. That's what you should do. You don't go and take it. I mean, it did work out this time, but anyway, not yet.
But yeah.
I put JR wakes to Ellen. You made me. Oh, she put like, you made me this way and you're stuck with me. He says that he removed all the alcohol, locked the bar. He walks out of the room. She goes, she gets up, and she knows she's got more. She's like, oh, let me get this little box of shoes I got in my closet.
A fly smile as she's like stumbling over to the cupboard and like pulls it out of the shoebox. It looks like a shoebox.
She's got to be the best drunk that has ever been on television, honestly.
It's just that drunken saunter, like, you know, like, it's just so funny.
I have regrets, but I met her a couple times, and I really wish I would have just asked her how she did that. Like, I'm like, were you really drunk? Because, like, you played it so well.
Yeah.
Anyway, Lucy, hurry up. Lucy pops a pill when Bobby leaves, so she doesn't have her shit together.
No.
Sue Ellen comes down the steps with her suitcase. Lucy's at the bottom of the steps. Sue Ellen goes
Yeah, that was a nice fall, by the way. Like, the way they did that shot and the way it's only like a 2 or 3 step drop, but it's like it's heavy, and you're like, oh, she fully fell on her stomach.
And Lucy's high, so she's laughing. She's like, Sue Ellen, what are you doing down there? Right, Sue Ellen.
And Ray comes in. Ray comes in.
Ray comes in. He's like, what's going on here? He calls the ambulance. Ray tells Bobby. He tells JR. He seems concerned. The baby seems to be fine. If she doesn't stop drinking, she and the baby may die, the doctor says. Bobby races home. Ray's there. Lucy is upset. Sue Ellen will be all right. He says
the doctor also suggests a facility that she can recommend to JR to send Sue Ellen because she doesn't believe that she'll be able to resist it. Like, she's like, no, the drinking is far worse than I thought. If she's things like this are happening, she needs to be in an institution.
He kind of, and Bobby like kind of is really stern with Lucy now. He's like, she could have died. He goes off on her, and I think she really feels it, because like, this is, I feel like, shakes it out of her.
Sue Ellen was lying there on the floor, like, and she didn't do anything.
Sue Ellen says she learned her lesson. JR said she's going to a clinic. Jack and Ellie agree. JR takes her, the men take her off to be continued.
Yes. It ends with her being like, oh, JR, I'll do anything you want. I'll do anything you say.
I know, it's like, so sad.
Yeah, watching her get, like, hauled away. It actually reminded me of, like, just, like, that thing in Simpsons or whatever. He's like, you want to be, do you want to be dragged away kicking and screaming or just escorted? And he's like, oh, kicking and screaming, please.
Right. So, episode 24, the season finale, which are always good for Dallas. John Ewing III, part 2. JR goes to the clinic, asks about Sue Ellen. She's in her Mrs. Roper Moo-Moo. I would take
Oh my god, yeah.
JR comes in, she throws a glass at him, screams at him, whatever. We knew how that was gonna go.
Yeah, yeah. He gets good throws in them glasses.
Ellie and Lucy had a nice moment with the car that cracked me up when Lucy was driving. She's like, you drive so fast on the freeway or whatever.
They
had gone shopping together. Ellie seems concerned about Sue Ellen. And I didn't really like what she said about Sue Ellen either. I thought she was strong enough to handle JR. What do you want the bitch to do? Hold a gun to his head? Like, what the fuck?
I think it's more like, you know, like, as I think on some level she has this naive view that Sue Ellen was always kind of like on, not maybe on JR's level of dastardliness, but always she was, because of how controlled she was and all that, Ellie always probably felt like there was that kinship, you know, like, oh, I can relate to that control, that strength and control and all that. I guess she thought somewhere along the line that, like, she's that she could just deal. It's, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you rationalize that, because JR's
exactly
awful.
Exactly. Cliff goes to see Pam at the store. She's pissed. She tells him about Sue Ellen and everything. He says he didn't want her to lose everything. Of course, you know why. You know, it was for him mainly. Pam says, you gotta commit or give up everything.
Yeah. Stay away from
Give up everything.
Don't talk to her at all. No calls. It's it's that type of thing where you tell your friend if they call and you answer, hang up. I mean, that can't happen nowadays, but back then when you couldn't see who's calling you.
Again, Sue Ellen brings out her lady card. She's like, you know, like, she admits nothing. I wasn't drinking. I just was a little tired, or I was dehydrated.
Is that the scene with Ellie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So just as like another scene, as far as like, as we were talking about Kit earlier, this scene here, as far as people who will not admit that they have a goddamn problem, it is so brilliantly done. Like, yeah, it carries all of Sue Ellen's characteristic, southern rich person type vibe. Like, she does it all as a lady and everything like that, but there is absolute denial. absolute denial. Like, she's like, oh, I've been drinking, you know, a little bit too much. Everybody's worried about my drinking problem, you know. And then her conversation with Miss Ellie, where she's just talking about how she's going to be there for Lucy's graduation and like, yeah, talking about the place like it's basically like a holiday. I mean, I suppose considering they're the Ewings, it probably would kind of be a holiday rehab, but it's still rehab. She's still locked in her room every night, you know, like
It didn't look bad. I would stay there. Yeah, like, you get to go out in the garden and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But like, that's what I mean. So like, I actually, as far as like addicts go, that is something that they do. And you're trying to drill it in. It is hard. It is so hard.
Yep. So yeah, she doesn't admit to Ellie. She calls her nurse in for meds. The nurse is like, well, you got more money if you want booze. I got some. She's like, no, yeah, get out. Why would she want booze? How dare you? Lucy and Miriam. We get to see Miriam. I don't remember. Has Miriam been in it?
I don't think so. I think maybe she had been mentioned or whatever.
Miriam makes appearances throughout the next season or two, if not longer.
She's recurring for a while. I think it's all through Lucy's college years. So like with Mitch and everything. We'll get to Mitch later, but like with Mitch.
They talk about graduation. They talk about the prom.
Some gorgeous boy that like Miriam Lawrence was like in love with.
Yeah. They go, they bump into Annie and the drug dealer dude. She says she's not doing that anymore. They're like, right.
Why do they get mad at her though? They get mad at her over. She's like, oh, you think you're better than us? Oh no, I'm just not interested in that stuff anymore. Oh yeah? Well, you know what? When some guy comes and breaks your heart, don't come looking to me. I was like, bro.
Okay. They just think, they think drugs are cool, that's why. And they're like, well, yeah, fine, don't be cool. Go be with Miriam, your nerd friend.
She didn't even diss them. She's just like, I'm just not interested anymore. And they're like, you know what? You know what? Screw you, Lucy. Like, you pay more next time.
Like, Sue Ellen talks to her doctor. She's acting like everything is great. She's like, JR, you know, he's like, what about when JR doesn't come home? He's kind of trying to push her buttons to see if she goes off. And she does. She goes off a little bit. You know, she's trying to be very ladylike. And then she's like, yeah, well, don't talk about that. And then she gets whatever. And then she's like, oh, well, excuse me. You know, go back to her ladylike ways.
She's just talking around everything. She's talking about, like, the obligation that she has and stuff. She doesn't actually talk about how she feels.
She thinks if she plays nice that she'll get out, basically.
Yeah.
Like, do everything that they say and she'll get out.
Tell them what she thinks they want to hear.
Jack talked to JR about Sue Ellen. I have JR is in his safari jacket again. I swear he just wears it all the time.
I made a note of that too. I was like,
he asks if there's like, he's like, what is bugging Sue Ellen? Like, what is going on with, like, he wants to know how to help, whatever. JR's like, oh, well, you know, what about the OLM? And Jack says he don't care about the OLM. He wants to focus on Sue Ellen. Like,
yeah, we're not talking about that right
finally,
now.
It takes to this degree to focus, even though she's been drinking in pretty much every episode for the past 20 episodes. Easy, if not more. And then he says he wants him to be a good father and a good husband. And Sarah's like, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, he wants him to be a good dad, you know, to have his son be proud of who his father is and all that. It's like, he's basically trying to say, I want you to have with your son, what you have with me.
Right.
And, you know, JR at the meanwhile is like, yes, sir, as in like, I'll do what I'm told. But he doesn't connect. He doesn't even think the kid is his.
Yeah. JR talks to Sue Ellen. She says she's fine. Brings a paper showing Cliff and a lady in the paper.
At a gala.
She says, get out, you made that up, whatever. She calls the nurse, and this is where she gets more of some alcohol.
Clutches them and pearls and then hands them over.
Yep. Gets a Listerine bottle full of vodka. Bobby gets there. She kind of gets her shit together, which she's still, you know, drunk, but she cleans up. She goes outside. He gives her flowers.
I love that flower slap. Everybody's so worried about the baby. What about me?
she's still trying to play nice to Bobby, whatever, and do that. But yeah, like, he asks about the baby and she does that.
That scene, I rewound it because I swear she actually got Patrick Duffy in the face. Like, she smacked him and just starts running, and I just laughed. I was like, wow, nice.
He probably told her to. Like, a lot of the times back then, they wanted it to be real, the actors themselves, so they would just do it.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Hilarious. It totally worked. Like,
yeah, so the men come out and they kind of like hold her down. And he's like, no, I got her. Because, they have a pretty good relationship at this point.
She at least trusts him.
Yeah. So she talks about JR sluts. She goes on being sad and tragic. I feel so bad. Like, this is so sad. She's like, if I only met you first. She kisses Bobby.
But it's so awkward.
It's awkward, but you know she doesn't mean it. Like, she does mean it, but you know she's just like, I don't know. It's she's just depressed.
Sad and lamenting.
Right.
It's just so sad.
She admits that the Cliff is the baby daddy. Or so they say.
I forgot about that.
Bobby goes to Cliff. He punches him as soon as he opens the door.
That is also
gives him a warning.
Bobby just being
he
Bobby.
He gives him a warning. He says no one could find out. And Cliff says that JR knows. So Bobby's like, oh, this fucker. The nurse. So this was great. I do like this nurse though. She cracked me up. The nurse gets on Sue Ellen about keeping the place clean, because I guess now she's drunk again, so she just gets messy. She says, like, how about you try to help me out? Let me, like, so I can escape. She's like, no. And she's making the bed, and she smashes her with the bottle. Runs out the door, and this is a very 70s, 80s thing. People used to leave their keys in their car, and hopefully nobody does that anymore. But somebody did leave their keys.
Yep.
In a car, so she was able to escape, and she pretty much drinking that Listerine bottle of vodka and driving crashes right into a pole.
Yep. She tries to avoid someone on the road and just drives into that pole.
I don't think she avoided anybody. Well, yeah, you're right. She did, because somebody was honking. And she avoided them by crashing into the pole. Ends up at Dallas Memorial Hospital. Then the doctor says they have to give her a cesarean, a C-section. She's 7 months pregnant, we find out officially, because I don't think we knew how many months exactly she was pregnant at the time.
Yeah, not exactly, no.
Jock wants to know how she got out. She's like, this is supposed to be like the best place. How'd she get out? Bobby tells Pam he visited Cliff. This is where they kind of communicate things. Cliff is watching the news. They mentioned Sue Ellen. He runs out. So he's running to the hospital. The baby is born, John Ross III. JR wants to see Sue Ellen. Bobby wants to go with, because I guess he doesn't want JR to upset her, is what I'm thinking. Even though she's out cold, apparently. They're told that she's asleep, but he wants to see her anyway.
Well, like, the whole family sort of comes to the hospital, and Bobby and JR end up going in. Even Cliff shows up. He shows up, and Pam sort of, like, heads him off.
These were such good scenes. Everything that happened in this episode was great. This is like great finale stuff.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Even better than the next season finale, in my opinion. I feel like I don't feel like that was that strong of a finale.
I think it's more emotional. I think this one is definitely more emotional. Yeah. I think
in every way.
I think the next one is more like, because they had built up conflict so much. But we'll get to that, obviously, without, going over everything.
Right.
I actually think that there are very few weak end of seasons in Dallas. Like, it is one of these shows that is most, like, the writing is so, more so than a lot of other long-running series, I reckon, or at least just long shows. The writing is so consistently well done, and they build their end seasons perfectly, just about every
year. Yeah. I feel like, I feel like the episodes before the finales a lot of times are better than the finales for Dallas.
Mm.
But anyway, Pam stops Cliff. He wants to see the baby because he thinks the baby's his.
Yeah.
And he kind of has a breakdown, and like, dude, like this man, Ken Kercheval, kudos, rest in peace, man. He's so good.
I know, right?
Tell me he kept talking. JR,
I was just
kind
gonna
of
make a reference to the character in the reboot, but I was like, no, I'm getting ahead of myself.
JR is in the room with Sue Ellen, and he's saying all this nice stuff that makes zero sense because he is the full blown reason why she is the way she is. But he's,
I think,
like,
JR can't admit that. You know what? That man will never admit any fault. He's sitting there just going, "Where did it all go wrong?" and all that. He's sitting there reflecting on how he felt about her when he first met her, and it's like, bro, it's the way you're treating her. It's like, it doesn't matter how you felt when you got married and how pretty she is. Look where she is. She could die. Your kid could die. Oh, the kid could die. You know, like,
yeah,
Lord. But it is. It is. I know when we look at what JR's done, the way Hagman portrays him. It's the layers where you sort of, you know, JR's this disgusting scoundrel, but you also have the, like, I empathize with the situations he gets in and the way he reacts, but he always, always brings it on himself.
Every time.
When I was saying earlier that a lot of the characters in Dallas do kind of grow, JR grows like this much. Over the whole series, I think he grows like maybe that much. That much.
No, maybe. I don't think he has any character growth. I think he's an asshole from day one to even the new series.
He is pretty much. One thing I will say something like about something that Dallas, as well as quite a few of the older soaps did, is even with your scoundrel characters, they push JR to like very villainous like levels quite a few times through that series. They elevate all his schemes and stuff. Even in like Falcon Crest, you've got some of the schemes that play out. Dynasty the same with Alexis, Knots Landing with Abby. None of these shows though have these key sort of villain characters as irredeemable. Like despite what JR does, he's not a psycho serial killer. He doesn't go around and actively murder people. You know, he abdicates responsibility and roles for other people's actions, but like that is one, like, you know, from that writer's, like, that writing element, when you're dealing with people who shoot at each other with intent to murder,
right.
There's things that happen in like season 6 that we'll get into as we go on, blah blah blah, but like it's not a redeeming quality. It's just something that I personally like about this era of writing in primetime soapies, you know, I mean, probably the golden era, but like, yeah. The characters have certain character traits, certain convictions that they don't actually cross, which is something that you don't see as much of in modern soaps. It's more about the scandal and the escalation of the plot in order to get people to come back. And it's like, no, you can't have character betrayals. No. And we'll get into that later with the women, with Dallas, and as it goes on, but yeah, because I agree with you on quite a few. Mm-hmm. That's just all my little extra notes and stuff. Yeah.
All right, well, it was a good season, and we'll get into season 3 soon enough.
I love season 3. Mary Crosby comes into it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's so delightful. Brilliant actor.
Thanks for joining us for this. Today's Queer Soaps. Subscribe, like, and comment. Let us know what you liked about Dallas. You never do, but maybe you will this time for a finale. Have a good one, everybody.
Bye.